Welcome to Vineyard Hopkinton. As we follow Jesus together, we experience the Holy Spirit, create a multicultural community, and pursue Kingdom of God justice.
Amen. Thank you. Well, as Sarah was just sharing the announcements and thinking about Holy Week and today being Palm Sunday, for some reason my mind was just flashing back to how do we actually, as a nation or as our region, really experience this season. And it seems like the church is becoming more and more sort of marginalized. You could, be in our town and not even realize this is a special time of the year. It's sort of for those people that are believers. And then I think about other places in the world. I was born in South Africa, and this is a vacation weekend. You have Easter Friday and you have Monday, and typically everybody heads to the beach. And you know, I didn't grow up in a Christian family, so you know, Easter weekend was synonymous with the beach and having a good time. And for those of you that know Liz and I, we've been doing work in Spain, and this week in Spain is like no other anywhere else in the world. It is unbelievable. For the whole week, they have floats and parades, and in certain cities, it is 100% crazy. I mean, religious, like over the top, massive crowds. Now, funny enough, locals will say, this is a terrible time to come to Spain if you're interested in Jesus, because it seems like there's a lot of, activity, religious activity, but you'd be hard-pressed to actually see people connecting to the Lord. In one of our trips, we were there, we witnessed this firsthand, where these people were paying like $10,000 to be one of the guys that could hold, you know, bear one of the floats. So it was this massive financial payment. And then I thought, well, this guy must be pretty committed. No, they don't go to church at all during the year. That's totally irrelevant. And so, you know, you get your head around this, like, wait, how does this work? Why would you spend that amount of money? I don't know. So I don't know the answer to that. But I am trying to figure out, okay, today is Palm Sunday. And I'm trying to figure out, how do we answer the question, what is so significant about today and this week, and how can we experience what God has in store for us? And it is, as a pastor, a mystery, because on the one hand, we know that this is hugely important, what Jesus has done. Next Sunday, we celebrate Easter. He has risen from the dead. But this Sunday, it's Palm Sunday, and today we celebrate who Jesus is, and we worship him, and we say, we want to just praise you and thank you for what you've done in our lives. But we also realize that most people are not going to be in church or thinking about Jesus much this week, which is why having this little handout on a daily basis to be focused is actually really helpful. Because unless we experience Good Friday, we're going from the celebration today to an even bigger celebration next week. And it's like, okay, that's Christianity. But Jesus had to die on a cross. And there is just a mystery in trying to comprehend this, whether it's different cultural events or whether we're trying to comprehend this today. But today is Palm Sunday. So traditionally, this is where the disciples have been hanging around with Jesus, and they are super excited because they've seen what he said and they've seen what he's done, and Jesus moving in towards Jerusalem, and they have expectations of how this is going to advance, what this is going to look like going forward. And this is the mystery that we all have to deal with. Because tomorrow is Monday, and Monday just like unfolds in a different way to what the disciples expected. And actually, in our own lives, our Mondays can be very different to our Sundays. Our Sundays can be a day when we come to church and it's great, hopefully, and then Monday, well, hey, we've got to go back to work. For me, the best day of the week is Sunday. And for many people, the best day of the week is Sunday, even if they're not going to church, because they just don't want to deal with Monday. If you've been away on vacation, it's like you have a great time, but typically vacations end on Sunday and you start on Monday. But before we get ahead of myself, let me just pause here for a second and think, can you recall anything that you really want to be giving thanks to the Lord for? Something in your life that's really been great. Maybe it's, you know, you're just grateful for your marriage, for your spouse, for your kids. And you just like, today's Palm Sunday, you just want to give God thanks for who he is and what he's done. And you're just grateful. You might be grateful because you're in a good work situation. You might be grateful because there's a sense of hope in your life, a sense of something good is happening. You might be grateful because from a faith standpoint, you're recalling what God has done in your life. And you just like need to take a day and just say, God, I just want to praise you. I just want to worship you. I just want to pause and give you thanks. It's Palm Sunday. We want to just thank you, Jesus, for who you are. And hopefully, this is not like way back when. It's recent events where you just want to be grateful and thankful for. But then again, I always battle with Palm Sunday, and because tomorrow's Monday. And maybe your expectations of what's going to happen tomorrow and what does happen tomorrow are different. Or maybe what you thought Jesus was going to do in your life and what he has done in your life is actually very different. Or even more perplexing might be you might have had like prophetic words in your life and they didn't turn out quite the way that you expected. Or maybe you were hoping that, man, if I could just marry a Christian, it would really be perfect and everything would just be great. And then maybe it wasn't. Hopefully it was. But sometimes we get ahead of the Lord. Like we anticipate what the next step is going to be because of what God has done, and it's just going to be a really onward and upward experience. But the disciples were shook up when things didn't turn out the way they expected it to turn out. They wanted Jesus to be the king. They wanted Jesus to deal with the problems that they were facing in their own lives. And they'd seen what Jesus had done, and they were expecting Jesus to go into Jerusalem and sort out this mess, and they wanted to be part of it. And it was a week that we were entering into where people got, their faith got shook up. I mean, it was like Peter saying to Jesus, you know, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And Jesus saying, well, wait a bit. You know, like tomorrow you're going to deny me three times. And Peter's like, no way, it's not going to happen. And then sure enough, it happens. And so Peter's expectation of how things were going to go and then how things did go caused a little bit of a wrinkle in his faith. I don't know what your story is, but I want to share a story that I've actually shared before with you. And that was the way God spoke to me in a very profound way in a dream about a small little village in Spain called Osuna. This was one of those things where it was really exciting because, I mean, like, I don't hear from God that clearly all the time. And God spoke to me really, really clearly. And this is what happened. I was participating in a meeting with a bunch of pastors that are doing work in Spain as a missions meeting. And the guy leading the meeting said, let's just take some time alone and pray to God and just ask God what he might have for us as it relates to Spain. Excuse me. And honestly, this is a good prayer for all of us to just participate in. It seems so basic. But will we actually pause and just ask God about something that's going to happen in our lives? So I'm actually an introvert. So I kind of, as soon as he said, that's great, let's stop talking. I'll spend a little bit of time alone and I'll pray. Well, I did. I took some time and prayed and absolutely nothing happened. Which, I mean, if you've prayed, you know that that's often the case. But it's not like it's wasted. You spent some time praying to the Lord. Big deal. You didn't hear anything. Well, it just so happened that this was in February, and I was training for the Boston Marathon, and I just run 20 miles that day, so I was pretty darn tired. And I had my own hotel room, which was pretty comfortable. And we finished the meeting nice and early, and I was looking forward to a great night's sleep alone where I could rest, and there was no rush. And so I did, and I went to sleep. But the Lord woke me up in a dream. And he says to me in this dream, he says, I want you to go to this town of Osuna in Spain, and I want you to stir it up. Now, here's the problem. I don't get dreams like this. And so when I got this dream, I was like, what was that all about? And I was like a little shook up, and like, being the smart guy that I am, I was like, I got no idea. Let me go back to sleep. So I did. I went back to sleep. Well, a few hours later, lo and behold, I get the exact same dream, except this time the Lord adds a little bit. He says, Rob, I want you to go to Osuna, Spain, and I want you to stir it up. And I want you to go in 2 years' time in the same. This was February, so February in 2 years' time. And now my head is really spinning. I'm like, wait, this is just odd on every level. I don't get dreams from the Lord like this. I never get dreams this specific. I hardly even know where Osuna is. I've been there once. Somebody took me there for lunch on the way to somewhere. And what on earth does stir it up mean and look like? I had no clue about that. And then why this specific date? Like, why in 2 years' time? So this was in 2011. And I'm like, now I'm like awake. Like, God has got my attention. And I'm like, what am I supposed to do with this? I don't know. Go back to sleep. I go back to sleep. And lo and behold, God awakens me a third time. The same thing. This time I'm smart enough. I'm writing this down. This is just like too bizarre. Now, friends, I had never received a dream like that in my life up until that time. And I have never received a dream like that since then. Okay, so this just was like one of those things. So on one hand, it's like Palm Sunday. Praise God. I'm like so excited. This is like I'm connecting with the Lord. The Lord is going to do great things. And here's the problem. I didn't know what stir it up meant, so I just filled in the blank. It means go to Osuna and start a church. I mean, it's obvious. That's what it means. So fast forward, we go to Osuna, and Liz and I plan on going there for a month, and then we were going to like kind of do some prep work and then bring a team out and for 10 days. And I had all these plans of how we were going to do evangelism and outreach and do stuff in the park and connect with people. And I don't know how, like somehow God was going to do something supernatural because this was a supernatural dream and I was just super excited about it all. Here's the problem. We get to Osuna, Spain, and it rains. Now, this place is in a desert, southern Spain. It never rains. It rained 27 days out of the 30 days we were there. What? It was like every plan that I had was like out of the window. Bonnie was there with us. John Lynch was there with us. Who else was there? Anybody else here that was back in the day with us? I mean, it was crazy. Okay, so yeah, Palm Sunday, praise God. And then Monday, it's like, you know, my faith was just like shook up. I came back from Spain. I was like, God, I just feel so depressed. I mean, it's like, what was all that about? I mean, I couldn't make head or tail of it. Palm Sunday, Monday. You know, the thing is this. We know God is loving. We know God is good. We know God can do supernatural things. But when it doesn't turn out the way we expected it to be, it can honestly wreck our faith. We can get really shook up when God doesn't do what we expect him to do. But God is God. And that's why reading the Gospels is so helpful and so fantastic, because we get a glimpse of, well, the sovereignty, the greatness, the incredibleness of God, but also how it pertains to our lives and how it interacts with our walk with God. So let me just pray before I get ahead of myself. Jesus, I just pray that as I preach today, Lord, that you would just, you know, speak to us through your word. Lord, that we can really appreciate how incredible your Bible is and the richness of your gospel. So, Lord Jesus, I just pray that you'd be personal to each one of us today. Lord, I pray that you would, by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, stir our hearts, put a desire in us to want to pursue you, to want to live for you. Lord, we ask that that you do this supernaturally in us, Jesus. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us to know what it is that you actually asking us to do today. What is it that you're saying to us through your word? What's personal to us? And finally, Jesus, I just pray that you'd give us the courage to pursue you and to follow you, even though it's a mystery. Because, Lord, we are captivated by your goodness and your love and the personalness of who you are. And, Lord, we just desire more of you. So help me today, Lord, as we share. In your name, Jesus. Amen. I'm going to be sharing out of the Gospel of Matthew today. If you want to find your way to Matthew chapter 21, verse 1 through 11, this is Palm Sunday. It's the classic, one of the classic sections in the Bible. But you know, the build-up to this Palm Sunday is really exciting, what God has been doing. He has healed two blind guys, for instance, and they were supernaturally healed. And not only were they supernaturally healed, they immediately start following Jesus. I mean, they just join the disciples. They're like, I don't know what else they were doing in their life, but now their eyes are healed, and they just join in. So that's pretty exciting. And the disciples see all this. Jesus has been teaching like extensively. And some of his teachings are kind of like crazy. I mean, like they're really like some of them in parables. And some of them is about the future. And I mean, it's like teaching that nobody's ever heard before. And people are excited. I mean, there's something like Jesus is not just talking about stuff, he's actually doing stuff. And there's an excitement about it. And then Jesus is doing things that are really strange. Like, he's telling people, do not avoid paying taxes. I mean, even though, like, everybody finds a reason, even today, like, why we should, like, not rarely pay it or minimize it or cheat or whatever. And we've got all sorts of justifications, just like they did then. Romans were oppressive and they were demanding tax and they were extorting it out of them. And then Jesus says to the guy, like, okay, so you need to pay tax. Well, this is what I want you to do. Go fish, and the first fish you catch, you'll find a silver coin in the fish's mouth. I mean, this just sounds like the most ridiculous story. Can you imagine being the disciple that has to actually do this? And then take the silver coin out of the fish's mouth and go pay your tax. Okay, I mean, like, strange things are happening. But not only are they strange, they're, like, coming about. So they're not that strange. It's kind of captivating. And then, of course, Jesus had been transfigured. So if you were one of the disciples that actually saw that happen, that's kind of crazy. I mean, how do you even comprehend that? And even if you weren't one of the disciples that saw it happen, you certainly heard all about it. Okay, so this is the build-up to Palm Sunday. You can understand justifiably why everybody was excited about Jesus and that Jesus was going to sort things out. That is the setting for Matthew chapter 21. So let me just read this to you. As Jesus and the disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the town of Bethpage on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them on ahead. "Go into the village over there," he said. "As soon as you enter it, you will see a donkey tied there with its colt beside it. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone asks what you are doing, just say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will immediately let you take them." Okay, that's great. Okay, now listen. I don't know about you, but I would have loved to have hung out with Jesus and seen what he was doing. But I don't know that I would have been so excited about like going to steal some guy's colt. I mean, it's just like, it just seems a little like risky, right? And yet, Jesus said it. And so that's what they do. And what we read in the Gospel of Luke is that they actually were confronted by the owner. And that's got to have been a little bit of a faith test. Okay, Jesus said it would happen, but now I'm dealing with the reality of somebody that could justifiably be angry. But then they say exactly what Jesus told them to say. And the guy says, "Yeah, fine. Just take my property." And so they do. Now, I want to go on a little bit of a rabbit trail here. That's this. If you want to be used by Jesus, if you want to experience some of these strange things, it does require that you be his disciple, that you like do the things that Jesus asks you to do and hang with Jesus in the way that Jesus asks you to hang with him. I mean, you know, it's just the way it is. Jesus is not asking you to believe. I mean, even the demons believe. Jesus is asking you to be a disciple. If you want to be a disciple of Jesus, part of that is that your life needs to be transformed a bit at a time where you become more and more like Jesus, where you become a servant. I mean, that was the mystery of Jesus, being the supernatural king power person, but he was also humble and a servant. And Jesus is saying, "I want you to be servants. I want you to serve others." And God has designed this organization called the church. And he wants each one of you, if you want to be a disciple, if you want to experience the fullness of what God has in store for you, to find a place to serve in the church. Now look, it's not this kind of attitude. It's not like, "Oh, no, Stephen and Sarah need some help. You know, I'll help out. Like, when it's convenient, if I've got time, if I'm not busy, if there's nothing else happening, if there's nothing better to do, I'll help out." That's just, you got the wrong attitude. It's the other way around. It's like, "I've got to find a place to serve. I don't know where. I'm not good enough to serve everywhere. But I'm going to find something. I'm going to greet people at the door. I'm going to help in children's ministry. I'm going to do something." Because there's something about being a servant and being reliable and being committed that gives us the opportunity in surprising ways to experience and grow as a disciple in Jesus. It's just the way it is. So here's these guys. They've been following Jesus. They're willing to be humble and to be used by Jesus and going to be served. And they rush out and they go and experience this crazy thing, picking up a donkey and the guy saying, "Okay, fine, take it." And then it carries on in verse 4 and it says, "This took place to fulfill the prophecy that said, 'Tell the people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming.'" Now, this is a great little prophecy here and a little lesson for us, because it's kind of an obscure prophecy, meaning, like, if you were one of the disciples, you probably wouldn't have picked up on what was going on here. I know Matthew is writing to a Jewish audience. And as a result, what Matthew's trying to do, he's trying to take a lot of Old Testament prophecies and saying, you see how Jesus fulfilled this? You see how Jesus fulfilled this? And so here's an obscure prophecy out of Isaiah, which says, look, your king is coming to you. That's all it says. Your king is coming to you. Now, this is like 700 years ago that Isaiah said it, right? But because it's the Bible, God used this inspired word. He said, Jesus is going to fulfill that prophecy. And then he carries on. He is humble, riding on a donkey, riding on a donkey's colt. And that's out of Zechariah. And again, we know from the Gospel of John that the disciples actually didn't know that this was fulfilling prophecy. But by the inspired word of God, and because Matthew's intentionally pulling this out of the Old Testament and highlighting it, and like you and I, sometimes when Jesus works in our lives and does things, we can't make head or tail of it at the time. But when we look back, we say, that was Jesus. And in a similar way, as the disciples look back at this event, they said, this was Jesus fulfilling these Old Testament prophecies. Can you believe it? It's unbelievable. Which is why the Bible is so exciting for us too. Anyway, verse 6. The two disciples did as Jesus commanded. They brought the donkey and the colt to him and threw their garments over the colt, and he sat on it. Most of the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Jesus was in the center of the procession, and the people all around were shouting, "Praise God for the Son of David! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Praise God in the highest heaven!" The entire city of Jerusalem was in an uproar as he entered. "Who is this?" they asked. And the crowds replied, "It is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." I mean, it was just a great time. And rightfully so, and it should be a time when we are praising God and thinking about the things that we should be praising God for. It's appropriate. It's Palm Sunday. That's why we celebrate Palm Sunday. However, as I'd said in the past, earlier, Monday's coming. And we have to deal with real faith. We have to deal with praising God on Sunday and dealing with Monday. Now, it's not unique to you and I that we should struggle with God doing things that we just don't want God to do, or God does things just in the way we don't want him to do it. I mean, you just have to look at, say, the Old Testament prophet of Jonah. Jonah was delighted when God spoke to him in a dream. It was super exciting, and he's like, I'm all for this. I love God. I'm all excited about it. But then, you know, God goes and does something that just really frustrates Jonah, and Jonah just says it out the way it is. Let me just read this to you. This is Jonah chapter 4. God changes the plans the way that Jonah didn't like it. This change of plans greatly upset Jonah, and he became very angry. Never a good thing to become very angry with God, because God is God, and it's not going to go the way you want it to go, but it's going to be the way that God wants it to go. So he complained to the Lord about it. "Didn't I say before I left home that you would do this, Lord? That is why I ran away to Tarshish. I knew that you are a merciful and compassionate God. You slow to get angry, and you filled with unfailing love. You are eager to turn your back from destroying these people." So here, John, "I hate these people. These are my enemies. I want you to destroy them. That's my plan. And you just won't do it." And he's mad. It just, like, his Monday was just ruined. You know, it was like, oh, man. And then you jump forward into the New Testament, you think like, well, okay, everything's great there. And then you got John Mark and the Apostle Paul, and they end up fighting on a missions trip. And, you know, it's like, wait a bit, like, who was wrong here? Was it Apostle Paul for getting so angry? Was it John Mark because he was probably complaining about the food that Paul was eating, who knows? But I mean, it's such a big disagreement because their expectations about how God was going to proceed was different to the reality of having some conflict with somebody in church. I mean, I know that's never happened to you in this place. I mean, I know like everything has just been perfect with Stephen and Sarah, and you're just in full agreement with everything they said. And I mean, it's great. It's an amazing place we have here. But the reality is, in most places, not this place, you know, there's some disagreement, and it can really throw you off. It can really undo your faith. But hang in there. God is actually large and in charge and in control, and it's going to work out just fine. You know, let me finish telling you a little bit about what happened in Osuna. Because, as I said, I came back feeling dejected because it didn't work out the way I thought it was going to work out. And the thing, it was such a frustration to me, is when I prayed to God and said, God, what do you mean by stir it up? All I heard from God was silence. And I'm like, God, I'm asking you to tell me, what does stir it up mean? You asked me to go and do this thing, and I don't understand what this is. So we're in Osuna, and the lady that's cleaning our Airbnb, she asked why we had booked this place for such a long time, because nobody comes to Osuna for a month. And so I said, well, I told her my dream. And she was like, oh, I got to go tell the priest about this. So she ends up going to the priest, and they end up calling all the religious leaders in town, and then they knew that I couldn't speak a lick of Spanish, so they had to get some guy that could speak English and Spanish, which was the English teacher at the Catholic private school. So we have this meeting, and now we're in the church, and this meeting didn't go well. The religious leaders say, why are you here? So I said, well, I had this dream, and God told me to come here and to stir it up. And they were like, are you Catholic? And I said, no, I'm not Catholic, but I believe in Jesus. Well, they didn't understand. They had no grid for what a Protestant looked like or what a Protestant believes. And so they just like kept frowning at me and like, no. But I noticed that the Catholic priest, his eyes were like this. And he was not really upset. He was like, this is intriguing. But anyway, the religious leaders said, that's it. We don't want anything to do with this. This is, I don't know. They didn't tell me what they thought. But it wasn't good. So I walk out, Liz and I walk out, and I'm like, it's bad. I don't know what we're going to do in this place. We're a long time here. This is really bad, and it's raining every day. So the English teacher says to me, I believe God sent you. I said, really? Are you ready to go to work right now? I said, sure. And you know, it had snowed in Osuna. Now, not only does it never rain, it never snows. It hadn't snowed in 41 years, and it hasn't snowed since. This teacher says to me, the snow was a sign from God that God had sent you. Are you ready? Me being a little stupid and slow, if it's not church planning, I don't see that God's doing anything. It's like, do you want to start a church? You're like, no, I'm quite happy with it. Okay, well, what do you want me to do? He says, this is what we're going to do. I've got like 6 students that are coming to learn English. I want you to tell them your story. So I'm like, sure, okay, so 6 students. This is your English lesson. How's my English? It's really great. You love my American accent? Great. Okay, let's go. And so the kids were like, so I tell them the story. So the kids are like, wow, okay. So English teacher says, that was great. Wait a bit. That class gets dismissed. Another 6 students come. It's another 45 minutes later. Tell the students. Okay, so I tell the students about my dream, about coming here, and about God, and so that's great. Sends those students off. Next 6 students. Tell these students. Okay, I'll tell those students. And well, I didn't realize what God was actually doing. But God was planting all sorts of seeds in the town, and all sorts of things were happening. I mean, it was kind of strange when, you know, like a week later, we're walking downtown and the kids are winding down the windows in the car, and their parents, hey, that's the guy. And I'm like, Like we were like a hidden celebrity. I mean, I don't know. But at the same time, I'm not getting it. God's not doing anything. Well, God actually ended up doing a lot of things. But I only found out about him like 2 or 3 years later, what God was actually doing in town. And I don't actually have time to tell you about it. But I do have this. I think a month ago, I got an email, a WhatsApp message from somebody in Osuna. And he said, "Hey, I want to meet you. I heard that you were in Osuna in 2013. This is like, you know, 11 years ago. When are you going to ever come back and can I meet you?" So I said, "Okay, well, we're actually coming this May. I think we'll make a plan to meet you. I want to hear all about him." So I don't know where that's going to go, but I'm looking forward to finding out about this guy who lives in Osuna, who really wants to meet me and heard about what God was doing. And all I'm saying is this. God is a God of surprises. When you live a life in God, it's got all sorts of turns and twists that you would never expect. You don't know how it's going to unfold or where it's going to go. And just, you cannot make the mistake that I've made, which is like God is going to do this and then he's going to do this and then he's going to do this. No, God is going to do this and then he's going to do whatever God's going to do. And if you can just be smarter than me and just be open to the fact that, like, just let God be God and just notice what he's doing and be happy that he's doing what he's doing, your life would be really, really enriched and fulfilled in the personalness of God. Mm-hmm.